The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am going to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land and the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Am I preaching it? You're not preaching it? Okay, just checking. All right, thanks. I'll take care of it for you today, Colin. Yeah. So basically, I love that last part. Do you love the way that how the people were connected to Joshua? Oh, but I'm not preaching on that today. Probably not a good passage for a pastor to ever preach on, really, probably. Leslie's a really good one. So let me just look. Today we're starting a new series, Encouragement for the Journey of Faith. And we're going to go through the book of Joshua. We're not going to go through it all, but we're going to go through the book of Joshua. So if you're not going off to university and you're hanging around, would you read the book of Joshua? Would you do that for me? A little bit less time on Facebook or TV, and just read the book of Joshua. Read it once. Be outrageous. Read it twice. Be absolutely outrageous. Read it 3 or 4 times. Just get yourself stuck into the book of Joshua. If you find it hard reading it from the NIV, find a different version of the Bible to read it. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, they said, I can't read it. I said, look, here's the children's Bible. Not to show offense to them, I couldn't read or write when I was 14, still can't read and write that well today. I said, look, there's the children's Bible. Just understand it from that context, because then you'll grow in your spiritual relationship with God. So find somewhere to read it. And please don't tell me that you haven't got time. because it's the Word of God. And so we're going to look today at the encouragements for the journey of faith. So I have to start by saying, as we start this series, that I'm just assuming, maybe wrongly, that you want to have encouragement. I pray that you do. And I'm just assuming or presuming that actually you want to be on a journey of faith. Note me, I'm not talking about journey of religion or a journey of church. I'm talking about a journey of faith. Yeah? You can call it whatever you want. Crazy faith, wazy faith. You can call whatever faith you want. But I'm just presuming that you're willing to go on a journey of faith. And you want encouragements along the way to get you through that journey of faith. And I'm just going to presume that you want that. If you don't, then I pray that in the coming days, that as you read Joshua, the Holy Spirit would abundantly encounter you and you'll have a fresh revelation and maybe even be born again into a new understanding of who Christ is, because Christ wants us to live by faith. He doesn't want us to live by self or live the way we want to live. He wants us to live by faith. And actually, one of the first series that I did in this church when I arrived as senior pastor a few years ago was talk about faith. And now I'm back around to this series again talking about faith. And so I want to encourage you that as we go along this journey in Joshua, it's encouragements for the faith journey. And one thing to say is, as we look at Joshua chapter 1 today, it's simple. It's simple. Amen? It's so simple, but yet why is it so profoundly difficult to do? I've asked myself that question this week. It's so simple, but why is it so profoundly difficult for so many people to do? And I'll let you try and work that one out for yourself later on. But today we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, how to get from here to there. How to get from here to there. Do you get me? How to get from here to there. Because God today has got us all here. And if we are living by faith, God doesn't want us to stay here. God wants us to go from here, called by Him, to go to there. Because God doesn't want any of us in this room, if we call ourselves born again Christians, He doesn't want us to stand here for the next 20 years of our lives. Because standing here, there's very little movement of faith. And God calls each and every one of us, equipped by His Holy Spirit, anointed by Him, with His help, to take us from here to there. But so often we stay here. I don't know why. I think it's probably lack of obedience, a lack of faith. But God doesn't want us to stay here. He wants us to go there. Let's say it in a different way. God wants us to know what we are called to do. And then with that calling, go from here to there to complete the things that God wants us to do. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't say, when I read the New Testament and the Old Testament, I don't read very often God says, sit there and stay there and do nothing there. God says, be called, be equipped, fulfill my purposes, do the things that I've called you to do, because with your help, we're going to save the world. I love that song we sang this morning. I think it's the second one, you know, about people being saved. Oh, Lord, would we not just believe that a bit more, you know? But actually, we're going to look today at what it means for us to go from here to there. Joshua, let me just say, I love Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. I haven't preached on it in this church till today, but I love the book of Joshua. And I've been reading it for months and months and months. And so I want us to go through today what it meant for the people with Joshua to go from here to there. And what does it mean for us to go from where we are today to where God wants us to be? And don't tell me that God doesn't want you to go anywhere, because He does. If we're called by God and equipped by God and filled with the Spirit of God, God places a purpose and a calling on our lives. And if you don't believe that this morning, I have to encourage you to go back to Scripture. Because Scripture says that time and time again. You may not want it. That's a different thing. But by not wanting it, don't say that Scripture doesn't demand it, because Scripture does. And it demands it in so many different ways. And it demands it in so many different portions, because that's the way God is. God knows what I can do, and God knows what Dazza can do. And God knows what Ricky can do. And he puts it all into the portions, but of what He wants us to do with the way that He made us. Because there's only certain things that God made me to do that he didn't make Ricky to do or Dasa to do. And I've got to do that thing, and Dasa's got to do his, and Ricky's got to do his, and I'll stop picking on them now. But you hear what I'm saying? So let's look at Joshua chapter 1. As believers, we should always be progressing on our spiritual journey. Shouldn't we? Talk to me, church, because if not, it's going to be a long morning if you don't talk. Talk to me and we'll finish earlier. How about that? Is that an agreement? If you don't talk to me, we'll just make this go on for a long time. No, I'm only joking. As believers, we should always be progressing in our spiritual journey. Absolutely. As believers, born-again believers in Christ, spirit-filled believers in Christ, we should always be progressing on our spiritual journey. However, many times we stop short in receiving what God wants us to do and what God wants us to have. The Israelites stopped short when they failed to enter the promised land for the first time. In their disobedience, they wandered into the wilderness instead of receiving what God had promised. In the first time of action, they were disobedient. They wandered into the wilderness instead of receiving what God had promised. We don't like to use that word disobedient, but sometimes we are disobedient, and we have to say it for what it was. They were disobedient. But on stopping short, that may have been the result of them holding on to sin in their own life, or it may be them refusing to follow God's direction in certain matters. But the end result is this: because they wandered, they failed to enjoy the blessing of God. Because they wandered, because they were disobedient, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do with Moses, they failed to receive the blessing of God. They failed to fulfill the things that God had called them to do. I'm getting hot already. So how we move from where we are to where God wants us to be, the people of Israel give us some clues in this passage of Joshua. The people of Israel here give us some clues. First of all, they receive the challenge. 3 points today. Just trying to give a good example to Stuart, back to 3.7. There's 3 points, but the first is this: received the challenge. We see there, don't we, in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, when you and all the people get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. So first of all, we understand in verse 2 that they received the challenge. The challenge is this: Moses is dead. So then in comes Joshua. And Moses is dead, and they receive the challenge. We see it there, don't we? That the challenge was to get ready. That was the first thing. Get ready. Get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. So they received the challenge. The challenge was to say, get ready. Moses is dead, just in case they hadn't worked that one out. Moses is dead. Joshua is your man, and actually get ready to receive the challenge. The challenge is to cross the River Jordan into the land that I am about to give you. See, that was the challenge, and they had to receive that challenge. To get from where they were to where God wanted them to be, they had to receive the challenge. That is no different from us. Where we are today, we need to receive the challenge of God to get us from where we are today to where he wants us to be. And actually, we need to receive the challenge as they also did. But look what happened with them. We see in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, you don't need to go there. We're going to go there in a few weeks' time. But the River Jordan, it says there, was at flood stage. During that time of the year, it was at flood stage. And you'll go on to read that it was a flood stage. And so actually, how much better would it be to cross the River Jordan when it's dry and low? Some of them must have thought. You know, wait a second, Josh, we're with you, Josh, buddy. And we'll receive the challenge. But in chapter 3, verse 15, it tells us that the River Jordan is high because of the weather. And we'll receive the challenge, but we'll receive the challenge when the River Jordan is low. And we'll just step over it. It'll be so easy. We'll receive the challenge, Josh, when it's easy. You want us to receive the challenge today when the River Jordan is high? You see, however, when we honor God in our willingness to trust God, even during the hard times, with the challenges that he gives us, he will always be with us. And we see that in them. They honored God by receiving that challenge, not running away from it. Oh, but oh, we've got all these excuses and the river's high and all the rest of it. They received the challenge, even though it was going to be rough and it was going to be wild and the situation was going to be difficult. You see, God wants us to walk across the river and face the challenges that we are called to do. God often reveals to us, I found in my experience, his power to us when we receive those challenges for what they are and step in faith into them. You see, here, the first thing we notice that they received the challenge. You see how they could have run away. All Joshua needed to say was, now, the river's too high. We'll come back another day. But Joshua said, no, no, no. The river's high, but God's even higher. The river high and God's even greater. We're going to step out in faith to do it. See, the Israelites stepped into the challenge of the unknown. The Israelites were prepared to walk where they've never walked before, into a land that they've never known before. You see, this was a brand new generation of people with Joshua. None of us know what the future holds. Each day we face new and unknown certainties. Most of us fear the unknown, but so often we settle for the problems instead of facing the challenges to take us from where God wants us to be, where we are, to where God wants us to be. Following God in unknown territory with dependence on him will lead us into victory and greater faith. Oh, come on. Goodness me. That's good, that bit. You know, because actually, let me say it again, if you didn't get it, that actually depending on him and being faithful to the challenge that he gives to us, and working through that will lead to victory and greater faith. Victory of people. Victory that the land became free for people to walk into it. And actually, greater faith with those people that did it. Could you imagine if you were one of them? We'd like, you'll get over that river. You'd be like, yes! It'd be the most amazing feeling. So they received the challenge because they had to get from where they were to where God wanted them to be. And what about you and I? So often we are where we are, and God gives us the challenge. He gives us his direction by his Spirit, and he gives us the challenge to go to another place where he wants us to be, and actually it will grow faith in us. It will grow faith in those around us. It might even be good for our family as well, because we obviously think we have to do everything that's good for our families. No, that's not what the Bible says. But actually, let's just put that one in, though, because that matters to a lot of us. But actually, we will walk through that from victory into greater faith. And so we need to receive the challenge of what God has called us to do. Stuart and Catherine and the kings this morning, they have received the challenge of the kingdom of God. I don't know how long they'll be here. I don't know what God's got for them in the future. But what they've done is they've listened to the challenge and they've responded to that challenge. I spoke with the comrades this week. They said, Scott, we've responded to the challenge. There's no money in the account. Hopefully it's rose to beer. So I'm praying about that. But there's no money in the account yet, but we've raised to the challenge. And I know that God, because they've raised to the challenge, God's going to have the victory. And God's going to lead them into greater faith. So the first thing I want to say is this, that we need to receive the challenge of where we are to where God wants to take us. And if we don't receive that challenge, then the reality is we're going nowhere. And I want to say to you, when God says to us in his word, I call you to be disciples, born again believers in Christ, living by faith, we're not called to be stationary people. We're going to pull people on the journey of encouragement in faith to go from where we are to where God wants us to get to. Now, at the moment, you might be where you are because God's called you to be there. That's fine. Stay there because God got you there. But if you're there because yourselves put you there and God's told you the things he wants you to do and you're not willing to move, then you take that one before the Lord because I think he'll have a few things to say. Why do I think that? Because I see it in the Word. If you don't believe me, I'll quite happily tell you where it is later. So point number two is this. First of all, they receive the challenge, and the question is, would we receive the challenge? The challenge can be many different things. The challenge can be just don't sit where you don't belong. Move on. The challenge can be God's asking you to step into a new thing and you just can't do it. You don't think you can do it. You haven't got the ability to do it, but he wants you to do it. The challenge is to say, actually, I'm going to step forward because you, as they did, recognize God's commitment to them. See, they recognize God's commitment to them. So they received the challenge because they recognized the person who had their back. Woo! God! They knew who had their back. They recognized who had their back. And actually, it says this, that no one will be able to stand against you and all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So they stood in this place and they've received the challenge. And then suddenly they hear in Joshua 1, chapter 5, well, wait a second. This bloke called God, who's pretty awesome, and we know he's awesome, don't we? Because we know the New Testament story. They didn't. We know that God sent Jesus to die on the cross to forgive us for our sins, to give us life and give us eternity. You see, I can't understand why we don't get as excited as they did, because we understand more of the picture. We understand more of the story. And so they recognize God's commitment to them. Joshua could accept the challenges because he recognized, Joshua, as a leader, recognized that he accepted the challenges because he recognized God's promise to him. And he's like, you know what? Whew, some of these people might not be up for it, but if God is with us, then who will be against us? And then we so often put God into such a small box today. But if God is in it and God is for us and God has shown us that challenge that he wants us to do, why would he show it to us in such a profound way like he did to them and not be with them? In essence, God said to Joshua, if you accept the challenge, I'm committing myself to you. Accept the challenge, Joshua, and I'm with you. There's a couple of things going on here. There was a powerful presence. In verse 5, God reminds Joshua that no one would be able to stand against Israel, not because of their power, but because of his power. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too are promised the power and the presence of God in our lives. We receive the power and the presence of God in our life. That actually here, as they recognize God's commitment to them, we also can recognize that God's commitment to us is his powerful presence living in our lives. But also they realize the personal presence. The power is not of angels or principalities, but the Lord himself. God initially showed his presence as the house of Jacob left Egypt by accompanying a cloud or pillar of fire, but no more. Even when you don't see God, he is there. The people of Israel were willing to face the challenge ahead because God was with them. Are you telling me that God isn't with us today? Absolutely, he's with us. Absolutely, he wants to be. He's willing to be. His desire is to be. But we've got to take him, because he's a gracious God. He won't always interfere. Sometimes he does. He gets a bit fed up, I think. He just goes, I'm here. You don't realize sometimes in your life, it's like, okay, okay. But you know, the issue is this, that actually God says to the people of Israel that if you're willing to face the challenges ahead, God is with you. And whenever we're in this place facing challenges, we need to also understand that God is committed to us. Not man or woman, not your best friend or your best buddy, not even your church members or anybody else, but God is committed to you. He has given us his spirit to live in us so we won't be alone. God's presence becomes personal when we respect God's commandments. God's presence becomes personal when we respect God's commandments. You know what? For those who have received the challenge and recognized God's commitment in the situation and are walking in it, even though the river might be high, even though the river might be high and the challenges to get over it are tough, we know, those of us who have experienced that in our lives, that God's presence, personal presence, will always be with us. So they received the challenge, but they also recognized God's commitment. And actually, when we're here as people, and God says, receive the challenge, receive what I'm saying to you to move on, to do the things that you want, I want you to do in my life. Joshua had to take those people. I love the way that they all had Joshua's back. I love that. I wonder if they really did, because they're humans, but it says that they did. But he went from that challenge, understanding that actually the reality is that we recognize God's commitment to us. And if God is for us, who will be against us? We're going. And God, does God not want more than any time before his church, his people? When I say church, I mean his people. His people to be the same today. Is there not a need for that today? And so when God receives the challenge, it might be a small thing. Step out in faith and do this ministry. Step out in faith and do this. Forgive that person that you haven't forgiven for years. Whatever it may be, when we receive that challenge as they did, when we understand that God's commitment to us and actually his mercy shown to us and his forgiveness demonstrated over us, why would we not continue in the journey? You see, Joshua here and his people recognized God's commitment to them. But you know what? It wasn't just words to them. They just knew it. And they trusted in it so, so much. The final thing is this, that they received the challenge in verse 2. They recognized God's commitment in verse 5, but they respected God's commandment. They respected God's commandments. When I was writing this week, I thought, Lord, I was in my office on my knees at one point, not because I'm a saint, just because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, have I always been faithful to your commandments on my life? Am I really doing that now? Have I not done that in the past? Where should I be? What should I be doing? I want to respect your commandments in my life, because if I don't, it doesn't matter who's behind me or in front of me or to the left of me or the right of me in heaven. It's me and you, Lord. Because it goes on to say, doesn't it? Be strong and very courageous. We all know this is here, didn't we? We're waiting for it to come out. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful in obeying all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You see, they recognized God's commitment to them, but they respected God's commandments. They respected what God told them to do. And that's why I was in my office saying, Lord, those times when I've heard you, I've had the challenge, and I've told you that other people have stopped me doing it, and so actually I haven't recognized your commitment with me, and I haven't done it. I'll be honest with you, I had to sit in my study this week and say to the Lord, I'm sorry. But I made a commitment with the Lord this week. I said, Lord, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I'm sorry if I've ever done it before, but not anymore. Not anymore. I said, Lord, you know I love Joshua, and I've read this passage so many times before, but he's never really brought that realization to my soul. But this week he did. And I said, God, if you give me a challenge, I'm going to recognize God's commitment to me, not anybody else around me, but to me. I'm going to be respectful in fulfilling God's commandments. And I ask him to forgive me for the times that I haven't. And it might shock you that I haven't done that at any times. I'm just standing up. I have to